At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
What does every grocery store aisle now have in common? Products that come in paper packaging. And we don't just mean the obvious ones like cereal boxes and juice cartons. From beauty products to boxed water, there are more opportunities to go paper-tarian than ever before. So why should you? Because paper comes from a renewable resource and can be recycled up to 7 times. Simply put, it's the smart choice for the environment. And it turns out, the easiest choice for you. Learn more at howlifeunfolds.com/papertarian.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
This is VSiN's College Football Betting Podcast.
Welcome in another edition of the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. Alongside Matt Humans, I am Tim Murray, as we break down the card. And, you know, Matt, we've got ourselves a wonderful, delicious college football slate in front of us, and it just feels a little bit better when you're coming off a winning week. It's been a slow start for us, but 3-2 week for yours truly, 3-1 for you last week, official plays on the pod. So hopefully we've got our groove back here. We're ready to keep this thing, this momentum train rolling like it was late last season.
Yeah, it's been a kind of an awkward start to the season, or an odd start to the season for me, because usually I'm pretty consistent. This season I've been volatile. I've been 2 weeks. The two prior weeks I was pretty bad, actually. And this past week, which would be, what, week three in college football? The past week's one of the best weeks I've ever had. I'm serious. I think maybe 12-1, 11-1, or 12-1 on all the side bets I made on Saturday in college football. You know, Tim, we always add plays, and we talk about some, you know, games we're looking at during the week, and just everything was falling into place last Saturday. But I needed that, because the previous Saturday, everything was falling apart. So I'd like to be a little bit more consistent, you know, and have a solid winning record, or at least be around 500 or better every week. But yeah, it's been a couple of really bad weeks and a great week, and hopefully this week works out, because this is a phenomenal schedule. I mean, all those slow days, Tim, and slow nights where we're doing three-hour shows in the VSiN studio and we're talking about hockey and baseball and the NBA, and we're dying for football to come back. This is what we're waiting for, our college football weeks like this.
There's no doubt, and we have 6 ranked matchups, including, and that's not including Clemson against Florida State, which we thought would be one of the biggest weeks of the year. So let's jump right into it, and we'll start with a game, Matt Humans, that I will be in attendance at. Notre Dame Stadium, 7:30 Eastern, NBC, Notre Dame, Ohio State. Ohio State in this series, not that it means really anything for this game, but just for historical purposes, Ohio State has won the last 5 meetings. Notre Dame's own last win came in the 30s. They are, the Irish, a 3-point dog. There were 3.5s out there. Those were scooped up this week. Talking with our friend Matt, John Murray, Matt, earlier today, he said Sharp Group came in and took the 3.5 from them. I think we've seen that pretty much across the board. Total 55.5. There is a 56 out there. Matt, you've got a play on this one, so I'll let you go.
Sam Hartman's the difference for me, Tim. 71% completions, 13 touchdowns, no picks. Audric Estime, the running back, 520 yards, 8.3 per carry. Now, Irish have faced a couple weak defenses so far. That's true with most of these power teams. Play a couple cupcakes early in the year, but I was really impressed with what the Irish did, and I lost that game when they went to North Carolina State and pounded the Wolfpack, and that was really not much of a contest. I was surprised and impressed, and I've upgraded Notre Dame a few points from the beginning of the season, and part of it has to do with Sam Hartman, just a major, major upgrade at the quarterback position for Notre Dame from what we've seen in recent years, and I think this Ohio State offense is overrated. Now, I know the Buckeyes pounded Youngstown and Western Kentucky. Look, I'm not impressed by the stats and games like that. I've been watching Kyle McCord, who's going to be the starter, and Devin Brown. I don't think these guys are ready for a road game like this in South Bend. I believe Ohio State in general is overrated. Now, Travion Henderson and Marvin Harrison Jr., no, those guys are not overrated. Buckeyes still got some big-time playmakers, and they're a legit probably top eight team. I think there's very little separation between the top eight teams, maybe even the top 12 teams in college football this year. Notre Dame's definitely in that group. I'm not sure I would have said that before the season, but when I'm watching Sam Hartman, there's no doubt about it. To me, that Notre Dame's an elite team. And on top of that, Tim Murray is going to be at the game. And when Murray is at the game, the Irish don't lose.
It's true. 9-game winning streak, Matt, for the Irish when I am there. 24-9, lifetime record. So the last loss I was a part of in attendance, Matt, was the national championship against Alabama. So it's been a minute since I've seen a loss in person. But, for me, and I had a buddy of mine who was listening to my hit earlier this week with Mitch and Paul on Follow the Money and said, cheer up, Buttercup. Matt, I am a bit more pessimistic when it comes to Notre Dame and betting on or against Notre Dame. A couple things that worry me a bit about this game for the Irish. I do think Ohio State's defense is a bit underrated. I think Jim Knowles is a really, really sharp defensive coordinator. Year two for him. We've seen some of their kind of big-time defensive players started to click a little bit. Jack Sawyer coming off the edge on one side. JT Tuamola, I'm sure I'm butchering that, but the other edge rusher coming off the other side. And up the middle, the big boy Williams there. And I think the middle of this line with Pat Coogan and Rocco Spindler just making their fifth career starts respectively, that does make me a bit worried. And then I think what we're going to have to see, Matt, is Notre Dame's wide receivers, which we had questions about coming into the year. We need them to make plays, or they need to make plays. I'm not a part of the Notre Dame staff here, but Jaden Thomas, Jaden Greathouse, a lot of young receivers. So I think, Matt, for me, ultimately, the biggest matchup of this entire game, it's not Marvin Harrison versus the Notre Dame secondary. It's not Kyle McCord, even though obviously they're all important. I think it's Jared Parker, the offensive coordinator for Notre Dame, who has so far aced the test the first 4 weeks against Ohio State's coaching staff here. So, Jim Knowles, like I mentioned, I'm a big believer in. If anything, I would look under in this spot. 56 is available at Circa. I think this is going to be kind of a slugfest. Not like we saw last year. Remember last year, Notre Dame was just playing not to lose last year. You're not going to get that from the Irish this year. They're coming in with the belief that they can win this game, that they have a good shot, they have the better quarterback. But anything for me, it would be under in this spot Saturday night in South Bend.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that either. And last year, I took the Irish in the points at Ohio State. That was, I believe, what did we get in that game, Tim? Was it 17?
17? Yeah.
Yeah, I took the 17, and the Irish lost that game 21-10. But they didn't really impress, and I think they were just trying to hang close and make it respectable. And they knew they weren't going to – I think it was pretty obvious that they weren't going to beat the Buckeyes on the road. This Notre Dame team's got a much higher ceiling with Sam Hartman at quarterback, much higher ceiling. And I'm optimistic here. I took 3.5 with the Irish. This is the first bet I made this week. I know the line over the summer was 7.5 or 8, but I thought that was, at that point, like I said, maybe Ohio State being a bit overrated. Also, I've had, like I said, I've upgraded Notre Dame about 3 points from before the season. Sam Hartman, I knew was going to be good, but if you go back to NC State, or when he was at Wake, when he faced NC State, he was 1-2 in his 3 starts against the Wolfpack. He threw 6 touchdowns and 6 interceptions. When he's with Notre Dame, he goes down there with a better supporting cast, and he shreds at North Carolina State defense. Hartman can win the Heisman. You look at Notre Dame's, and I know you have a bet on this. Notre Dame wins this week, got a home game against USC. Trojans are probably going to drop one, maybe 2 games somewhere because they got a pretty difficult Pac-12 schedule. Notre Dame's got 2 major opportunities here in South Bend that Hartman wins one of these 2 games, he's going to have a great shot to win the Heisman. Wins them both, he's probably going to win the Heisman. That's what I would say. And I'm fired up for this game, Tim. You know, I've been watching Notre Dame football since I was a little kid, and I've been to several Notre Dame games at the stadium. And as a bettor over the years, I love to play the Irish when they're home dogs, when people doubt this team. And it's not too often you get Notre Dame as a dog in a big home game. We saw it a couple years ago with Clemson, and we're seeing it again here. And I don't think this is an overstatement, Tim. The more I watch Georgia and Alabama, Florida State, some of the other top teams, and you got a bunch in the Pac-12, Oklahoma, Texas, I think Notre Dame is just as good as those teams. And Irish win this game, they could not only be a playoff team. I don't want to get ahead of ourselves here, but Notre Dame has not won a national championship since 1988. And I think this thing's wide open this season. Georgia's not dominant. Alabama's not. Texas is not. USC's not. Those are all really good teams, but I think Notre Dame's in the class with those teams.
It is certainly a wide open year, and I wouldn't disagree with that. We'll see. If my biggest question were twofold. It was the defensive line, which has been better than I expected for Notre Dame, and the playmakers at wide receiver. Can they make plays? Can they get off press coverage? I think that's a massive question come Saturday night, because I think Jim Knowles is going to be aggressive and make those wide receivers prove them wrong. And I think Al Golden, Notre Dame's defensive coordinator, is also going to be aggressive. And he had a great game plan last year. Now, it helped that Jackson Smith and Jigba got hurt on, you know, the first possession of that game. But I think Notre Dame's going to be aggressive. You know, there was an article in The Athletic talking about how Notre Dame has really tried to keep the red out of the Ohio State fans to avoid what they've seen in recent years, which was, you know, 2017, Georgia taking over that stadium. Going back to 2000, Matt, you probably remember the Nebraska game where it seemed like a sea of red there when Nebraska was number one in the country. So, you know, it's going to be all green. Notre Dame's wearing green uniforms. So I've said this, and I truly believe it, Matt. The buzz, when I get to campus on Saturday afternoon, I expect it to be comparable to the Bush push game. I mean, the buildup to that game in 2005 was enormous. Notre Dame Clemson in 2020 was, you know, COVID season, no, you know, real fans, just students there. So I think the buzz, the disdain Notre Dame fans have towards Ohio State, I think it's going to be an incredible atmosphere, and hopefully Notre Dame's up for the moment. I think that's the biggest thing, Matt. You know, we've seen Notre Dame in a lot of moments, whether it be in the playoff or the ACC championship a couple of years ago against Clemson, these premier showdowns where they've laid eggs. Now, last year, you'll give them credit. They were unranked, taking on a fifth-ranked Clemson team and bullied them. So, yeah. You know, Marcus Freeman in big games so far, Matt, I pointed this out, you know, a lot last year. Marcus Freeman last year in these games where it was either they were a dog or a touchdown favorite or less, he was, I believe, 6-1 against the spread. The only game they didn't cover was USC. And that's because Caleb Williams is Superman. So Marcus Freeman has done a pretty good job in the small sample size of certainly having his team ready for these types of moments.
Yeah, I can hear the anxiety in your voice as you speak. You're going to be nervous. You're
going it's there.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Going to be a ball of nerves when you get to Notre Dame Stadium on Saturday. But relax, Tim. It's going to be okay. I think this game probably goes down to the wire. I'm a Sam Hartman believer.
Just like 2005 when I was a young lad and I had a ticket in the student section. So we will see, and hopefully we don't have a situation where Travion Henderson is pushing Kyle McCord into the end zone with 9 seconds to go to give Ohio State a victory. So Matt, official play on Notre Dame plus the points, and not an official play, but I think I might get there on the under for this game. I think it's going to be a little uglier than people anticipate between these two teams. I really like both of these defenses. Well, you go from a game, Matt, that both you and I lean towards the under in Notre Dame, Ohio State, to the next game out in Eugene, Oregon, where the total is 70.5 between Colorado and Oregon. This is 3:30 on ABC. The Buffs right now, a 21-point underdog. If you were aggressive, you could have got a 16.5 on early Sunday morning at DraftKings. Those went away very, very quickly, Matt. And the big talking point about this game, no Travis Hunter. Travis Hunter, he is out with what reported lacerated liver. So he will miss both this week and next week when Colorado plays USC. Huge, huge loss for the Buffs. And look, both you and I circled Colorado State in that spot. I don't know if you ultimately got to the window, Matt. I did not, just because of all of the lead up. But at the end of the day, Colorado State was the right side and probably should have won that game on Saturday night. Shador Sanders had that incredible drive in the closing 2 minutes. One of the best games so far of the college football season. But this team is showing their weaknesses. They struggle stopping anybody on the offensive side, Matt. They can't really block. Shador Sanders, I believe, has been sacked 15 times. Is this when the rubber meets the road? I know you don't like laying points, but do you think Colorado can keep this close against the Ducks in Eugene?
I did get there with Colorado State. I was waiting for the 24 last week, and you know, you figured it was going to show up at some point, but that had to be the spot to play Colorado State. I was very disappointed in Jay Norvell not going for it on 4th and 2 late in regulation at the opponent.
Go for two.
A 42-yard line, then an overtime, kicking the extra point when you have to go for two. You're a 24-point dog on the road. Go for two and win the game. He's going to regret that probably for the rest of his coaching life. That was very disappointing. We'll talk a little bit more about the Rams in a minute. My question here about the Buffaloes, and you said a lot about it, there's not a whole lot more to say. I wonder how much gas is in the tank with this team this week. You think about all the emotions that have been spent so far on the TCU opener, the Nebraska game, the Colorado State game, which was the ESPN's fifth most viewed college football game ever. Over 9 million viewers last week. It was insane. The betting handle was off the hook in that game. The hype around this team has been something we haven't seen in a long time at college football. Think about it, Tim. Colorado hosted Colorado State. These teams were a combined 4-20 last year, and that was the biggest game of the college football season so far in terms of betting and TV ratings.
Unbelievable.
I think the emotional gas tank for the Buffaloes might be a little dry this week. And without Travis Hunter, who's your best player and a two-way star, it's going to be – I think too tough a challenge to overcome here. You know, I'm not one to lay a bunch of points, but if you made me bet this game, I'm laying it with the Ducks. If I played it, I would lay it, and I have not bet it, and I'm not sure I will, but I think you'd have to look over 70 and lay the 21. I think this is where the Buffaloes get on the road and run out of gas this week. And, you know, don't forget, the Ducks played Hawaii last week, and they basically were able to take the second half off. So you got a well-rested home favorite. I'm sure Dan Lanning, the Oregon coach, has had plenty of other guys in the coaching profession texting him this week and saying, Dan, if you get the chance, beat this guy by 50 this week, right? So Oregon's probably going to rub it in if the chance is there, if the opportunity exists. And I don't want anything to do with Colorado this week.
Yeah, I might get to the window in Oregon. Haven't gotten there yet. You know, could look first half. that has been steamed up to like 12 and a half, 13. But yeah, I think this is a really tough spot for Colorado. This next spot, Matt, you know, I know you love taking points and it's certainly tantalizing. And as our good friend and reigning circa Friday Night Football Challenge champion, Chris Felicas would say, this might be a dog with fleas. And I'm not talking about Colorado. I'm talking about Ole Miss. Ole Miss is headed to Alabama. We know how important this game is each and every year for Lane Kiffin. He likes to poke the bear. This week he was talking about Kevin Steele not calling the defensive plays, who is the defensive coordinator for Bama. He said it was T-Rob, Treverius Robinson, who's the cornerback's coach. It's really interesting, the dynamic of Lane Kiffin and how he loves to just kind of go at his former boss there. Alabama, what else is there to say? They look like absolute garbage offensively against South Florida. And, you know, there's part of me, not to go all tinfoil hat, Matt, to say, you know, Nick Saban more or less said, hey, to Tommy Reese, try your guy against South Florida and then shut up and we're going to go back to my guy. I think I'm going to lay the points here with Alabama. You can get a six at South Point. Six and a halfs are readily available. You know, I think Mississippi people are going to be grabbing the points, and I totally understand it. But let me ask you this. Is this the ultimate buy low spot on Bama? Or maybe it's just Bama's just not that good, and that very well may be the case. A lot of people that I respect, under 10.5 wins all offseason long, and you know, after they lose to Texas, you're sitting in a pretty good spot. Let me say this about Ole Miss though. Junkins is hurt. He'll probably play, but he's banged up. And let's remember this. They may have covered against Tulane, but they kind of ran it up late in that one. And I saw this stat. Ole Miss so far this year, Matt, has scored 41 points in the first three quarters and 44 in the fourth quarter. So they have been figuring out ways to cover in their last two games versus Tulane and then Georgia Tech. I feel like this is the spot where Saban gets the best out of his squad. And if I go down with Alabama under a touchdown, so be it. Last week, everybody thought, Matt, that was the spot. You're going to lay it with South Florida or lay it with Bama. First half, full game. They're going to crush South Florida. Then everyone saw what happened. Now I feel like everybody's getting off the Bama train and maybe they're smart to do so. I'm going to give it one last ride and see what happens. So give me Bama minus the 6.5 here.
Yeah, Wes Reynolds and I talked about this game probably for 10 minutes on our VSEN Tonight show Wednesday night. Said a lot of the things you're saying there. Is that I went back and watched the tape of the Crimson Tide game at South Florida. It was ridiculous. I've never seen, since Nick Saban's been there after his first year, an Alabama team play so poorly. South Florida was a 34-point dog and was throwing into the end zone with 6.5 minutes to go to try to tie the game. It was 10-3. Alabama punches one in with 33 seconds left to win that game 17-13. A late score to make the score look a little bit better. But there's a lot of negativity around Nick Saban this week, and everything you said is true. I've talked myself into playing Alabama this week, and the six is at the South Point, and I'm going to actually lay that right now. I was waiting to see if a six would pop up, and South Point's got it because you're seeing 6.5s all over the screen. I think a lot of people are getting a little too excited about maybe Alabama's demise and wanting to bet against Bama and not looking at the other side of the ball and realizing that this Mississippi team's not that good. Ole Miss was toe-to-toe with Tulane with its backup quarterback on the road for most of that game. And also, last week against South Florida, Tyler Buckner and Ty Simpson were the quarterbacks who played the entire way, and those guys are probably not going to see the field in Tuscaloosa this week as Alabama goes back to Jalen Milroe, who's the quarterback who gives them the best chance to win. So I think you're going to see a different Alabama team. I'm not going to say it's the ultimate buy-low spot, but I think it is definitely a buy-low spot here on Saban at home. He's already lost one home game as a 7-point favorite. I don't think it's going to happen again here. And I can't use the word on the podcast that I want to use to describe Lane Kiffin, but I'm not a big fan, and I don't think Nick Saban is either. And, you know, Saban's going to be ready for this one. Remember the last time Kiffin showed up in Tuscaloosa? He said, get the popcorn ready. And it was 21-0 Alabama before he could blink. I like the Tide here. I've talked myself into it this week. Alabama -6 is going to be a play for me.
Tulane, as you mentioned, led 17-10 with 7 minutes to go. And if you had a Tulane ticket in pocket, my condolences, because that was brutal. That was a brutal, brutal beat. Another spot. Could it be a buy-low spot? I don't know. Florida State is visiting Clemson. This is the first time Clemson, Matt, has been a home dog since Lamar Jackson came to town in 2016, a game that Clemson did win as a dog at home. Prior to that, you go to October of 2013, Jameis Winston in Florida State walked in there as a favorite and won by 37 points. I'm trying to talk myself into Clemson here. Under a field goal, it feels like the sports books are begging you to take Florida State. Jordan Travis banged up his shoulder a little bit against Boston College. That was a massive look-ahead spot. I think they led 31-10 in that game, Florida State did. Clemson's been a bit out of sight, out of mind since the loss to Duke, beat Charleston Southern, beat Florida Atlantic, who lost Casey Thompson for the year in that game. I'm going to stay off this game. I really was hoping to get to the window on Clemson. Maybe a 3 shows up. I don't like the fact that it's a noon start, Matt. I would have loved this to be a night game at Death Valley to give Clemson maybe a little bit more juice. But ultimately, I think I'm going to stay off. I really like the matchup, especially as the game played out, Florida State against, you know, a weak secondary for LSU. Is Florida State going to be able to take advantage of those mismatches that we saw that Sunday night, Labor Day weekend against LSU? I want to get to Clemson. I'm not going to officially play it, but it would be Clemson or pass for me in this spot.
Well, I think Florida State scored, 31 straight points against LSU in the second half of that game. And that sticks in the back of a lot of people's minds, and they think, man, this Florida State team can win it all. Well, if you watch the Seminoles at BC last week, they were lucky to escape with that win at Boston College. I'm not going to talk for 3 minutes about this game and then say, well, I'm going to pass, but I am going to pass, so I'm not going to talk 3 minutes about it. if it weren't,
is that a shot at me, Matt?
No. If it's a night game, I agree with you. If it's a night game in Death Valley and Clemson's a 3-point dog, I'm probably taking the 3. But another thing I'll say, kind of a lesson for handicappers or something to think about, the ACC is definitely not one of my strongest conferences. It's one of my weakest conferences. I'm not real good at picking winners in the ACC. You know, I like to focus on conferences like the Pac-12, Mountain West, Big 12, Big 10, things like that, SEC. I'm not real good in the ACC. So if I started playing a bunch of ACC games on the board every week, my winning percentage is going to drop. I don't have a strong opinion on this game, so I'm not going to play it. I think the public's going to be on Florida State here, and I don't want any part of this game. I think it's just kind of a coin flip type of game. But, you know, you're right. If it's a night game and you got Clemson +3, that's a different story.
All right, we're going to take a break. On the other side of the break, another ranked matchup out west. Matt Eumanns has a play on it, and things, let's just say, get a little weird on the Palouse at nighttime. More to come on the other side of this break.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
If you use paper, you're a human. But if you choose paper, you're a papertarian. Someone who lives a paper-based lifestyle because it has a positive impact on the planet. And also because it's the easiest choice you'll make all day. Seriously. It's as easy as reaching for boxed instead of bottled water. It's as easy as opting for beauty products that come in paper packaging. It's as easy as grabbing eggs in a cardboard container. And that's all in one trip to the grocery store, which, if we're being honest, you were planning to go to anyway. But paper isn't just an easy choice. Papertarians know that it's the smart choice, too. Because paper comes from trees, a renewable and sustainably managed resource. And paper products are designed to be recycled. In fact, when you choose products that come in paper-based packaging, those fibers can go on to be recycled up to 7 times. So why wouldn't you go Papertarian? I'll wait. Learn more at howlifeunfolds.com/papertarian.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Hey guys, this is Matt Jones, Drew Franklin from the Fade This podcast. We got a great episode coming up, picks in all the sports, football, basketball, we do them all, but here's a preview of this week's episode. Do you think it's more embarrassing to dye your hair or to have hair plugs?
I don't think either are embarrassing if you're not trying to conceal it and act like you didn't.
Okay, so you think if you just come out and go, I got hair plugs.
Yeah, like check out these hair. I mean, don't just walk around, hey, tapping, hey, stranger, I don't want you thinking this is natural. You know, but I mean,
do you have to do that with everyone you meet?
Some people try to act like they, you know what I mean?
Yeah. But I mean, like John Cena got him. You know, when John Cena came back to wrestling, he had a bald spot, and now he doesn't. Mm-hmm. You think he should be required in all interviews to say, look, by the way, I covered up my bald spot?
Yeah, I guess it's weird. I mean, you don't wear a sign or like put a sign in your yard, but.
All right, so what about toupees?
Those are the most obvious.
But let's say you're like Bill Self and you can get it to where it looks good.
His is magical. I don't even know if his is a toupee.
It is.
I think he went into the future and had a procedure we haven't even discovered yet.
And this episode was brought to you in partnership with DraftKings. To hear more, listen and subscribe to Fade This on iHeartRadio or wherever you listen to podcasts.
All right, we're back. Matt Eumanns, Tim Murray. It is the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. Mentioned it going to break, Matt. 14th ranked Oregon State on the road at Washington State. 7 o'clock Eastern, 4 o'clock local kick out there on the Palouse. And Washington State sits as a 3-point home dog. This game will be on Fox. Total of 58.5, Matt. Have you been enjoying what you've seen so far this year from the Fighting Cam Wards of Washington State?
How could you not be impressed? The Cougars went to Fort Collins, and they punished Colorado State, crushed Colorado State. That was no contest. And Cam Ward right now, 72% completions, 9 touchdowns, no picks. It's an offense averaging 49.7 points, 7th in the nation. Yeah, there's one cupcake opponent in there, but like I said, pretty much most Power 5 teams have played a cupcake opponent at this point. So Washington State, having played Colorado State and Wisconsin, I think rates is one of the tougher non-conference schedules. And Washington State actually whipped Wisconsin in that game. It was 24-9 at one point. Cougars were just controlling the game. I've been really impressed by this team offensively. A little bit concerned about the defense and the ability to stop the run here. Damian Martinez is a stud. If you have not seen him, the running back for Oregon State, he's got 351 yards on 40 carries, 8.8 yards per carry. But I think DJ Uiagalelei is taking a step back. He threw 2 picks last week against San Diego State. Oregon State only put up 26 points in that game as a 26-point favorite, and DJ down to 62% completions right now. I mean, Tim, I know you love Oregon State. I like the Beavers a lot, too. I like this Washington State team just a little bit more. I've talked to two handicappers this week who make ratings on college football because I wanted to compare their numbers to mine because I thought something must be wrong with my numbers. I made Washington State a 2.5-point favorite in this game. And then I talked to another guy who said he made Oregon State -5. And then the other handicapper I talked to said he made Washington State -2.5. So, obviously, there's some variance in the numbers. We're not quite sure what this number should be, but the market is still telling us that Oregon State should be a 3-point road favorite. I don't agree. I don't trust DJ on the road. Cam Ward and the Cougars, I think, playing at a higher level offensively. And I like the home dog here to win the Pac-2 title, Tim. The Pac-2 title is on the line, and I think Washington State wins it.
Yeah, that's they might just play each other every week next year in their own conference. Ben Arbuckle, the offensive coordinator hire by Washington State, has really worked out. I was underwhelmed by Cam Ward. I thought he was going to be better when he got transferring in. He's been phenomenal so far this year. 9 touchdowns, no picks, completing 72% of his passes. They have no run game, so they're one-dimensional. But Cam Ward can extend plays. And, the strength of Oregon State is up front. So they lost some big pieces. Look, if we could figure out a way for my win total, Matt, to have Oregon State win by 1 or 2, that would be nice. But honestly, preseason, I was banking on this being an easy win, so to speak. And it is definitely not. Washington State has played far better. And, we talked about this a little bit with Notre Dame, Ohio State. Washington State has been tested so far. They went on the road to Fort Collins and pummeled a Colorado State team that you and I both backed in that game. They beat Wisconsin outright for a second consecutive year. And then you look at Oregon State, Matt. They traveled to San Jose State, who was missing a couple starters offensively, took care of business there, played an FCS team, and then we're okay against San Diego State, didn't cover. So I think this is a pretty tricky spot, no doubt. I don't think it's a look ahead because, Washington State's ranked and this is nationally televised, but Oregon State does host Utah next Friday, which will be an enormous game there in Corvallis with that full stadium after all the renovations. But yeah, that is a tricky spot. Matt, you are on Wazoo plus the 3. Speaking of Utah, per the reports and per the betting market, Matt, it certainly feels like we're going to see Cam Rising back for the Utah Utes. As we record this on a Thursday, the market has gone from around 4.5 to 6.5 with some rumors out there that Cam Rising will be back and making his season debut for the Utes. And they take on UCLA in this spot, another 3:30 Eastern game, this one on Fox in Salt Lake City. Dante Moore has been really good so far for UCLA, but on the road, Rice-Eccles Stadium, it'll be an afternoon game, not a night game, so that's maybe beneficial. But what do you make of Utah and UCLA, especially if Cam Rising is indeed back?
Well, if Rising's back, it's going to be his first game since Rose Bowl when he got knocked out. I don't think you can expect him to play like Superman in his first game back. I've been really, really impressed with Dante Moore, the freshman quarterback at UCLA. I was at the Rose Bowl that night when Chip Kelly sent him in against Coastal Carolina. Offense was struggling. Dante Moore is like a lightning strike, instant offense. And the more I watch him, the more I like him. There was no doubt after watching Dante Moore for 5 minutes that he was UCLA's starting quarterback and that Chip Kelly had opened the season with the wrong starter. Talking about Ethan Garbers, there was no chance. Garbers is a backup. Moore is a guy that gives UCLA a much higher ceiling. I see 6.5 at Circa on this game. I'm actually tempted to bet UCLA. But again, it's one of those spots where, okay, if 6.5 is going to hang out there, maybe we're going to see a 7 at some point. Maybe I have a chance to grab a 7 with UCLA. I like the Bruins' chances, actually, to go in here and possibly beat Utah. Tim, Utah offense, very unimpressive after that 70-yard touchdown strike against Florida in the season opener. You and I talked about this. After that 70-yard touchdown, Florida outgained Utah 346 to 200 the rest of the game, right? Then the Utes went to Waco. Mm-hmm. Offense was not that impressive against Baylor. I haven't seen enough out of this Utah team so far to say that the Utes should be laying 6.5 or maybe even 7 against UCLA. I'm interested in the dog. It's not going to be an official play for me right now, but this is something I might play this weekend is UCLA plus the points.
Yeah, UCLA played an FCS opponent last week for the first time, I believe, in school history. So they were well rested. Love what they did in the portal. If they found their guy in Dante Moore, they got some weapons, right? Carson Steele, Ball State transfer, over 243 yards on the ground, averaging 8 yards per carry. They went to the portal and got J. Michael Sturdivant from Cal, who's got 9 catches for 219 yards, had a touchdown in the in the game that you went to against Coastal Carolina. So, you know, big moment for a true freshman and Dante Moore. But I tend to agree with you. Final one before we hit a break. And then on the other side of this break, plays aplenty from me and Matt. And we'll get to our best bet recap as well. The old whiteout game, Matt, in Happy Valley, number 7 Penn State, 7:30 Eastern on CBS, hosting the juggernaut offensively that is known as the Iowa Hawkeyes, who put up a whopping 41 points. What went for it on 4th and goal, I think, from the 1 in the final minute in order to get the cover last week. The count is on to try to get Brian Ferentz to 25 points per game for this offense. I'll tell you this, Matt. Cade McNamara still is not right. He talked about it during the offseason. He's not healthy. And if he's not healthy and you've got those dudes on the other side of Penn State, you know, with all of the momentum and energy that is a whiteout game, I'm very curious how much Iowa State is able to put up on the board Saturday night in Happy Valley.
Iowa's won 2 in a row against Penn State, but one of those in Happy Valley in 2020, I think, was one of those weird games, Tim, with like very few fans in the stands, right? In the pandemic season. Mm-hmm. And you're right about McNamara. He has not looked right. He kind of reminds me a little bit of Joe Burrow. When you're watching Burrow, you can tell he's not right. And it's the same thing with McNamara. And the Iowa offense needs him to play at a much higher level because there's not an abundance of playmakers on the Hawkeyes offense. The defense probably going to be able to hang in there, make things tough, make this an ugly, typical mud wrestling type of Iowa Hawkeyes game. But, you know, I was a little surprised last week that Penn State's offense was sluggish against Illinois in Champaign. Talk about Allen and Singleton, and if you look at the box score, it was a very pedestrian performance by the Penn State offense on a day when Luke Altmyer, the Illinois quarterback, threw 4 interceptions. Penn State should have won that game much bigger than 30-13. I think the Nittany Lions were kind of sleepwalking in that morning start in Champaign. Well, it's going to be a whiteout in Happy Valley. Should be a totally different story. You know, we've been talking about some of the elite teams in college football. Very little separation between teams 1 through maybe even 12. Penn State's one of those teams that can win the whole thing. Iowa, no shot. I think, you know, Penn State should win this game going away. But I'm not going to – this too many points for me to lay. But I would hope to see a really convincing performance out of Penn State in a, you know, something like a 20-plus point win.
Total of 40 in this game. Whew. Total of 40, spread of 15. So,
what do you think Iowa – what's Iowa's projection for its offense this week? Like 10, 13, something like that, right?
I think I read the market 12 and a half, something yeah. like that. I would almost be surprised if Iowa gets to double digits. You know, we'll reconvene next week and see. But, yeah, no play for me. All right, those were the big games. We got a bunch of other games that Matt and I have circled, including our best bet recap. More plays to come after this. It is the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
If you use paper, you're a human. But if you choose paper, you're a papertarian. Someone who lives a paper-based lifestyle because it has a positive impact on the planet. And also because it's the easiest choice you'll make all day. Seriously. It's as easy as reaching for boxed instead of bottled water. It's as easy as opting for beauty products that come in paper packaging. It's as easy as grabbing eggs in a cardboard container. And that's all in one trip to the grocery store, which, if we're being honest, you were planning to go to anyway. But paper isn't just an easy choice. Papertarians know that it's the smart choice, too. Because paper comes from trees, a renewable and sustainably managed resource. And paper products are designed to be recycled. In fact, when you choose products that come in paper-based packaging, those fibers can go on to be recycled up to 7 times. So why wouldn't you go Papertarian? I'll wait. Learn more at howlifeunfolds.com/Papertarian.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Had enough of those supplements that leave you feeling nothing? Symbiotica is your solution to great-tasting, all-natural supplements that actually work. Crafted with premium plant-based ingredients, their products have no seed oils, fillers, or artificial nonsense. It's just pure goodness in every pouch. Try them out and actually feel the difference today. Visit Symbiotica.com and use code IHEART for 15% off plus free shipping on your subscription order. Again, that's 15% off plus free shipping on your subscription order. Go to Symbiotica.com. That's Symbiotika.
Keep it rolling here on the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. Matt Eumanns, Tim Murray with you, getting you ready for week 4 of the college football slate, a monster, monster slate. And Matt and I always love to have some sort of action late night. We had a tip of the cap to Matt, Fresno State, easy winner in the late night window last week, and obviously Colorado State as well, if you took the Colorado State spot. So a lot of games we've talked about today, noon Eastern, 3:30, 7:30. Well, what about the 10:30 window? 10:30 Eastern, Matt. We've got Cal visiting Washington, and 2 weeks ago, both you and I were able to get home with the Fighting Justin Wilcoxes as they were, I think at time of record, late catching 6.5 against Auburn, closed around 4.5, and wasn't pretty, but they got there. Cal did, losing 14-10. Washington State has looked like an unstoppable force, Matt. I'll let the floor be yours because I'm going to piggyback a lot of your sentiments here. Both you and I have a bet on this game.
Yeah, both of us got a little bit of better number than what's out there right now. I think you got 21 or maybe even better than that. I got 21 with the Bears.
And I talked 21. Yeah,
okay, talked about this many times about how much respect I have for Justin Wilcox as a defensive coach. And I've actually upgraded this Cal team about 3 points from my preseason rating, too. It's even better defensively and much better offensively than I expected the Bears to be. I was wrong. Really about two teams in the Pac-12. I thought Cal was going to be worse, and I thought Arizona State was going to be a lot better. Well, I jumped off the Arizona State bandwagon and broke my ankles 2 weeks ago because the Sun Devils stink, and they got four quarterbacks, and none of the four can play. And the coach, Kenny Dillingham, who's, what, 33, 34 years old, he can't figure it out. He got out-coached by Mike Gundy. Really poor. It was a coaching mismatch in the second half, a poor coaching job by Dillingham. And that Oklahoma State team's not good. You know, Tim, I know I was on South Alabama last week. I think you were too. I did not quite expect that, a 33-7 beatdown at Oklahoma State. But, wow. Anyway, I'm getting off track here. The last two games between Cal and Washington, I think you have to keep this in mind. 28-21. And 31-24. Justin Wilcox, I think, will have a good defensive game plan for Michael Penix, Kalen DeBoer, and this high-scoring Washington offense. So I'm actually expecting Cal to keep this within a couple touchdowns, stay within striking distance in the fourth quarter. And Washington's off a road game at Michigan State. Has got some big games on the Pac-12 schedule on deck, too. And I think this is kind of one where they might let off the gas a little bit and think, well, you know, you were just talking about you expected Washington State to be an easy win for Oregon State. I'm sure everybody thought this was going to be a joke of a game for Washington this week. And, you know, it may turn out that way, but that's a lot of points to give Justin Wilcox, who's a really good defensive coach and has kept it within one score against the Huskies the last two years. In meetings between these teams. Washington's another one of those teams, Tim, and there's, you know, three of them in the Pac-12 to have that potential to reach a college football playoff. I just talked to somebody yesterday and fired up about this. Got tickets for Washington at USC on November 4th. And that's going to be a hell of a game in the Pac-12, right? So you think the Huskies are probably looking past games like this against Cal. And they got much bigger games on deck. Now, I know that one's way down the road. But Justin Wilcox is a key for me here. I think he knows how to keep this Washington offense under control. Huskies might be sleepwalking a little bit. Let's hope so anyway. And keep this within three touchdowns. I like our chances here catching 21.
Couple thoughts on this one before moving on to another game. Justin Wilcox, if you just bet him blindly as a dog, you're making a lot of money. We talked about this prior to the Auburn game. 27-10 ATS as an underdog. And, you know, I bet Idaho last week plus the 15. That was the closing number, I believe, at Circa. They played Cal. And, Matt, I thought I had a rocking chair winner. Idaho led that game 17-0. And then Cal scored 31 unanswered points, and I somehow still covered. But I ring that up because Idaho, yes, they're an FCS program. They did go to Nevada and absolutely pants the Wolfpack the week prior. They're a top five FCS program, Matt. And Cal's got a little bit of offense here, some juice with Sam Jackson, the fifth, the Montana State transfer at running back. And, yeah, I think Cal is going to be a tougher fight. I would have loved this game to be in Berkeley. But that's fine. We'll get a little extra points on the road here. Hopefully the 21s reemerge. That's what Matt and I were able to grab. But, you know, you're seeing some respect in the market here for Cal as those 21s have all been scooped up. Injuries in this one, Matt, and you and I are both massive Chris Klieman fans. And I went against him last week. And thankfully, Missouri was able to hit a 61-yard field goal. So they avoided overtime in that game in Columbia. And normally, Matt, I would be all over K-State in this particular spot because they're coming off a loss and they're going to, you know, be looking for blood, so to speak. I'm actually going to take the points with UCF. They are, Kansas State, that is, Matt, incredibly banged up. Trayshawn Ward, the Florida State transfer, is doubtful for this game. Will Howard, the starting quarterback, is questionable. Colin Klein, the offensive coordinator, on Thursday came out and said it's going to be a game time decision. So if he doesn't go, it's going to be redshirt freshman Avery Johnson, who was a highly, highly regarded 4-star recruit, I believe from the state of Kansas. And they also lost Daniel Green, one of their linebackers for the year, I believe with a torn pec. UCF dealing with injuries too. No John Reese Plumlee. He was hurt against Boise State, but Timmy McClain. And I talked to Sean King about this one yesterday, Matt, because he knows Timmy McClain well, being from Florida, and he went to South Florida before transferring to UCF. He's not as good as John Reese Plumlee, but he's really athletic, played well last week against Villanova when he started. I think UCF, of all the teams that joined the Big 12 from the AAC, I thought they were the most ready to join with the athletes that Gus Malzahn has on that roster, Matt. So I'm going to take the points here with UCF. I think there's 4.5 out there, but UCF, I think, is really going to be live in this spot. And maybe Avery Johnson and this offense can rally together after losing so many big pieces. But I think UCF's going to be ready for this moment. So I'm going to take a little bit with the Knights here. Looks like all the 4.5s are gone, so I'll take the 4 for the podcast. But I think UCF is going to be live on the road in the Little Apple on Saturday night.
Yeah, I don't disagree, but this UCF's not going to be a play for me. I like Chris Klieman so much, but the word I get is that Will Howard is probably, not going to play, the K-State quarterback, probably not going to play here. So I think you got to feel pretty good about your position if you got the points with UCF. Incredible game in Columbia last week with the walk-off bomb field goal for Missouri. Man, that was just a wild fourth quarter, and nice job by you taking the points with the Tigers. I don't disagree with your play here, but I'm going to pass. Before the season, one reason I did not play K-State's win total over is that I thought it was going to be tough to replace Deuce Vaughn and your best defensive player. And I said, if you look at the schedule, there's some – tricky spots here. K-State could lose at Missouri. You know, it is not a tough, there were a lot of tough spots. It's not an easy schedule. And I think last week kind of proved that. And that's why I didn't play K-State's win total over. But I don't disagree with your play.
You mentioned the Memphis, the Missouri win. I'm going to fade Missouri this week. Emotional win. They were really looking forward to that K-State game. The revenge factor after losing by four touchdowns. The disrespect with Brady Cook getting booed early in that game. The kid Burden, the wide receiver from Missouri, is phenomenal. But I think this is kind of a buy low, sell high opportunity. Saturday night, this game is in St. Louis. Memphis getting a chance to play an SEC foe. They're catching 6.5. See if you can get it, you know, up to a cheap 7. Brady Cook, I would guess by the movement in the market, probably will play. He was listed as questionable for this game, I believe, with a knee injury. But, you know, think about it this way, Matt. Memphis played last Thursday night against Navy, barely won. 28-24, you could argue probably should have lost. Missouri has this emotional victory. Everybody sees it, the kick, the 61-yard field goal. And now they're only less than a touchdown favorite. Seems like it's too easy for Missouri here. So I'm going to take the points on what I deem as kind of a buy low, sell high, maybe a little bit of a letdown from Missouri playing a G5 squad in a neutral site spot in St. Louis, even though I imagine they'll have the majority of the crowd. But I'm going to take Memphis plus the points here. 6.5s are out there. See if you can get a cheap 7, you know, minus 120 or so. But that's the way I'm going to look in that spot. We mentioned teams going from the AAC to the Big 12. Cincinnati coming off of a loss to Miami of Ohio. I wish I had that money line. I just took the points. But they are hosting Oklahoma, Matt. And Oklahoma has been an absolute monster so far. Kind of as you would like to say, maybe being a bit of a bully in these games as a big favorite. So Brent Venables running it up a little bit the first 3 weeks of the season. Do you think Cincinnati has a chance to keep it within 2 touchdowns as they are right now, I think, a 15-point underdog against Oklahoma on Saturday there in Cincinnati? 14-point underdog.
Yeah, it's not like this would be a better play, I think, if the Texas game were on deck for the Sooners, but that's 2 weeks down the road. On deck is Iowa State and then Texas for the Sooners. You know, they played Arkansas State and Tulsa, two really bad teams, and Dylan Gabriel put up some huge numbers, I think passed for a combined 730 yards in those two games. But if you look at the SMU game, Oklahoma had to score twice late. That was 14-11. And SMU had to go for it deep in its own territory. It resulted in another quick score for the Sooners, and they win that game in cover. They win 28-11 as a 16-point favorite. But, man, I think you're going to see a little bit more of that when Oklahoma starts to face some legit defenses here in the Big 12. It's not going to be that easy. And the spot going on the road against the Cincinnati team that, you know, did beat Pittsburgh a couple of weeks ago, and I think has got the ability to be a live dog here, interests me, Tim. And let's see if I check the schedule, check the betting rotation. This is not a game I bet yet, but I'm probably going to play it. And Cincinnati, number 348 on the rotation. 14 is the best number you can get out there right now. I anticipate the public is going to be big on Oklahoma because if you look at the offensive numbers, like you talked about, it's pretty impressive. And, but again, you've got, who do you have there, Tim? Is it Fox Big Noon Kickoff, or is it, I think that's who's in Cincinnati for this game this week, right? Is the Bear and the Fox crew there?
It is, Fox Noon, Big Noon Kickoff is there. Yes, sir.
I think you're going to see a it's home dog.
Noon on Fox.
I think you're going to see the home dog Bearcats show up and put up a big fight here. And, I tell you what, I am going to bet this game. I'm going to hold out, see if I can get 14.5 on Saturday, but you can put me down for Cincinnati plus 14. I was impressed by the way the Bearcats played against Pitt. I know it's not a great Pitt team, but I think this is one of those spots where you get the best effort out of the dog. I'm still a little bit skeptical of the Sooners after watching that game against SMU a couple weeks ago.
Well, you mentioned Pitt. Why wouldn't you want to back the old Pitt Panthers? This is when Narduzzi thrives. Plus 7.5 at home against North Carolina, Matt. ACC Network, 8 o'clock Eastern. You're looking to an ugly dog here in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, I am. I'm going to play Pitt plus 7.5. And I was against Pitt last week. I had West Virginia. I think you did, too. It feels like the whole world was on West Virginia last week in that game. And, man, that was ugly in Morgantown. But West Virginia's starting quarterback, Garrett Green, was knocked out early in that game. And the Mountaineers still were able to get a reasonably comfortable win there. I think the problem with Pitt right now is the offensive line's been pretty poor. And Jurkovic has been under a lot of pressure. He was 10 for 32 passing against Cincinnati. He was bad last week. There's a lot of negativity around this Pitt team right now. I just talked to a guy who lives in Pittsburgh. He said, Narduzzi's getting bashed on sports radio. Everybody's crapping on this Pitt team. Well, sometimes that's when you want to play on a team like this. And, you know, it's not like Mack Brown is the most reliable road favorite in a spot like this. I think this is where Narduzzi steps up and sometimes is at his best as a home dog in a game where he can make it ugly and kind of drag Drake May and the Tar Heels into the mud a little bit. So I like Pitt plus 7.5. And that's a night game in Pittsburgh, Tim.
Yeah, it is. I'll rifle through a couple more. I know you've got another spot that it takes some real courage to back a squad, but a couple in the muck plays. How about this spot? Now, I was wrong last week fading James Madison on the road at Troy. I should have realized that would be a spot where JMU would be up for it. It was more of a play on Troy after getting smoked by K-State. But this situational spot is horrendous for James Madison. Let me talk it through real quickly. James Madison 2 weeks ago, a public institution in Virginia, went to Virginia, scored 10 points unanswered in the fourth quarter, including a game-winning touchdown with less than a minute to go, beat the Wahoos 36-35. They go down to Troy, the defending Sun Belt champs. James Madison in the Sun Belt, but not eligible to win the conference championship this year. They beat Troy 16-14. There's some video of the coaches talking smack to the crowd down there at Troy. Next week, Matt, South Alabama, who just beat Oklahoma State, is thought to be maybe the second best team in the Sun Belt. They go to Harrisonburg to play JMU. In the middle, you got to board the plane from whatever airport is closest to Harrisonburg and fly out to Logan, Utah, and play this Utah State team in a night game in Logan at elevation. I like Utah State here. I really do. I know, you know, the numbers folks would say JMU is the far superior team. You're probably right. Situationally, you couldn't look for a worse spot. So give me the 6 for Utah State. McKay Hillstead is the new quarterback for Utah State, a three-star recruit, I should say. And I was talking to someone up in Salt Lake, Matt, who I trust his opinion, and he said he believes McKay Hillstead is actually better than Cooper Laga, the quarterback who got benched. So I'm on the Aggies there. How about UConn? UConn coming off a dreadful loss to FIU last week as a touchdown favorite. They get Duke this week. Duke walking in to Hartford, Connecticut, Matt, with the number 18 next to their name. They were just told that their game against Notre Dame will be on ABC primetime, and they've now got to go up to Hartford for a 3:30 Eastern kickoff. They're going to be playing in front of absolutely nobody there, and we've got weather concerns. I'll read this from a buddy of mine who's a meteorologist. He said Northwest NWS, which is, I believe, the storm system, said about a half an inch of rain during that time frame, low 60s, winds 15 to 25 miles per hour. So I'm going to hold on to my butt and take UConn plus the 21.5 and just a massive look-ahead spot for the Blue Devils, who may, Matt, for the first time in school history, if Notre Dame wins this weekend, host College Game Day next week. And then lastly, you and I believe, are on this together. Middle Tennessee State. They are hosting Colorado State. Colorado State seemed to empty the tank last week. Emotional game, everything that went into that game. Now they've got death threats going to their safety because of the hit on Travis Hunter. Muhammad Kamara out for the first half due to targeting. That's their best defensive player. Middle Tennessee beat Colorado State by 15 last year, so that the revenge factor worries me a little bit, Matt, but both you and I I took money line Middle Tennessee. What say you on the boys from Murfreesboro on Saturday?
Yeah, I talked about this on the Follow the Money show with Mitch and Paul Tuesday morning. And this is one of the first bets I made, too. I played Notre Dame plus 3.5, Middle Tennessee minus 2, and Washington State plus 3 right off the bat. But, I mean, just a definition of a flat spot, a letdown spot for Colorado State off losing the lead in the big game against Colorado. Now you have to head to Murfreesboro. Rick Stockstill's got a pretty good program. Blue Raiders lost by 4 at Missouri. And if you look at last year, Middle Tennessee was a 14-point dog. The Blue Raiders stormed into Fort Collins and won that game 34-19. Tim, 2 weeks later, the Blue Raiders went to Miami as a 24.5-point dog and beat the Hurricanes by 14. This is not going to be an intimidating game for the Middle Tennessee Blue Raiders. They've been here before. They've won these big games, and they whipped Colorado State a year ago. But, you know, as soon as that Colorado State game ended in Boulder, I looked at the schedule, said, who does this team play next? Oh, a road game at Murfreesboro? I know I'm going to be on Middle Tennessee here. So that's the handicap.
All right, final one, by the way. My dog is about to start barking, which might be an indicator that we like a lot of dogs. Last one for you, Matt. Arizona at Stanford. At Circa, Stanford catching 13 fresh off a loss to FCS Sacramento State.
Yeah, I think the first thing everyone's going to say or look at with Stanford is what you just said. Ah, Stanford's terrible. This team just got beat by Sacramento State. Troy Taylor, the coach of the Cardinal, was Sacramento State's coach last year. This is a Sac State is not a joke of a team. That didn't surprise me all that much that Sacramento State won that game. I still think Ashton Daniels, the quarterback, and E.J. Smith at running back, you got a couple guys who can move the ball on the ground for Stanford. I think Cardinal being underrated here. I'm really surprised that this number opened around 8 and is up to 13 now at Circa. I mean, the home dog, I think Stanford's got a chance to win this game. Now, the Cardinal have not looked that good since they won at Hawaii on that opening Friday night. I think that was August 31st. But this is a well-coached team, and I think Troy Taylor is making a difference. It's going to show up in this game against Arizona. You can't trust the Cats and Jaden Delora on the road to lay this type of number. Stanford plus 13 is a play for me.
All right, there you go. We've broken it all down. Our favorite plays. If you've skipped ahead, well, here you go.
Best bet recap.
Yes, indeed. All right, Matt, let's rifle through your plays. 3-1 last week, official plays on the pod. 7-9 right now. What are your best bets?
Yes, let's try to wipe out that two-game sub-500 deficit this week. I had a couple weeks there where I was not very good. Hopefully this is a good week. I've got a lot more possibilities here, but Tim, these are official plays. Stanford plus 13, Washington State plus 3. We'll take Cal in the points. Well, I think right now we can just get 20.5 for the podcast. Don't like to give out numbers that don't exist. So let's take 20.5 with Cal instead of 21. So you got a few in the Pac-12. Alabama minus 6. That number's at South Point right now. Middle Tennessee minus 2. Notre Dame plus 3, Pitt plus 7.5, Cincinnati plus 14, and I got one more for you, Tim. Late night, the last game on the board, Saturday night, we're taking New Mexico State plus 3 at Hawaii, so put me down for that one as well. I think that makes it about, what, 9 or 10 plays? This week was at 9?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 plays from Mr. Humans. Okay. Love it. Spraying the board, Matt. I will rock and roll with my best bet recap here. 8-8 on the year, 3-2. Let's get above 500. Let's get back to where we were last year. Utah State plus the 6. Memphis plus the 6.5. If you can buy a cheap 7, go for it. Middle Tennessee, money line. Cal plus the 20.5. UConn plus the 21.5. Alabama minus the 6. And we'll see if UCF can take care of business against the backup quarterback. With the backup quarterback, give me UCF plus the 4. All right, there you go. Our best bets. Please rate, review, and subscribe. For Matt Humans, I'm Tim Murray. This has been the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Live Nation presents Concert Week. Now through May 14th, get $25 tickets to over 5,000 shows. That's up to 75% off a summer full of your favorite artists like 21 Savage, Alanis Morissette, Cage the Elephant, Celeste Barber, Dierks Bentley, Fade, Hootie and the Blowfish, Janet Jackson, Kidz Bop Kids, Meghan Trainor, Bissell Pluma, Sarah McLachlan. Get tickets to more than 5,000 summer shows for just $25. Until now through May 14th. Visit LiveNation.com/Concert Week to learn more and plan your summer with Sean Paul, Sum 41, 30 Seconds to Mars, oh, and Two Door Cinema Club.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.